Capital 263.
What up, what up? How you doing? Welcome to Nana and the other guys and figuring out adulthood in 30 or so minutes, which usually turns into more than 30 minutes because there's so much to talk about and you guys want to listen to a lot. Thank you so much for downloading the show. I truly appreciate your presence. I truly appreciate my presence in your ears. Ew. I wish I had like a deep voice like you, but I don't. I've got one of those voices. My voice is only ever sexy in the morning. Right. So if you want to hear me sexy voice sing, you need to call me early in the morning around 5 because I wake up around 5. Then you can hear the best of my deep voice and it lasts like 15 minutes and that's all. You know, so it is what it is. Today on the show, I was supposed to have Mona Lisa, but you know, network problems and Nigel and network problems as well. And, the only person who's been able to link up with me today is Mr. Mark. Yo, Mark, man, what do you do? What's going on, man?
When I logged on, we were watching hentai.
I was not watching hentai. When I logged on, I wasn't watching.
You were watching hentai.
So, I wasn't watching. Independence hentai. It's a long day. We've nothing to do. But I was on the explore page of Instagram, just scrolling through. And then Mark heard whatever he wanted to hear. And then he says it's hentai, but it really wasn't. So here's the thing. Mark and I, when we're doing a pre-show talk, I challenged him to a cook-off. Mark, for those who may not know, knows how to cook very well. I saw a picture that he took when he cooked once. I do not know the circumstances that led to him cooking, but and taking a picture for said plate, but it was there. And then he cooked. And when he cooked, he put the picture out there. So I looked at the picture. I'm like, nah, I can beat that. Like, listen, I can't be beaten by Mark on cooking. You know what I mean? So I set myself up and I'm challenging Mark to a cook-off. So yes, Mark, we're on. The week I move out, we're going to do a cook-off. And look, we just have Nigel join us. Nigel, man, what's good?
What up? How are you?
Nigel, I'm so glad you're here. I am super happy you're here because I wanted to ask you this question.
Please ask me.
Nigel, this week he tweeted that he got stopped by police. One was male and two were female. And he ended up macking on the female cop. Nigel, what happened?
No. She macked on me.
Okay, tell us the story. What happened?
So I'm driving along, Jason Moyo, and I'm playing my music from my phone.
Okay.
Right. And so I'm stuck in traffic because I can't move. And I got my phone, I want to change the song, and suddenly these three police, two on the sides and the other right in front of the car. They just surround me and they stop me. They say, stop the car. Of course, it's already stopped, so I can't move. Mm. And they're like, open the door. And I open the doors and they're just like, in, bang. They're like, Andiku, charge office. I'm like, what? Hey, can we talk about this?
Okay. You
know, so we're going to the charge office and they're like, and I'm like, I don't have money. And I'm mad. And they're like, you know, I chaga for now. So I actually make a couple of calls, you know. I'm actually making a couple of calls, right? I'm looking for money. Mm. And the kind of money. Get Andina Mari. Even quattro in our charge office. Andina Mari. Four nazis. And I'm like, the only money I have, Irikumba, Skanzuno Garakupi. That's from my avenues. Do we not go to my avenues, Andy?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Were these really cops, Nigel? Were these really cops, Nigel, that wanted
they were cops.
That were happy to go with you to the avenues?
They were cops. And, okay. and so they're like, so
oh my
and
gosh.
I'm like and I'm like, no, Andina. Mm. And then this lady says, Saka, what was it a first bono anima kure mangani?
Great question.
So what was it a first bono wa wakura shakadi? And well, this explains my tweet, you know, the tweets I posted today.
Yeah.
So we're on our way and she's like, and I'm like, eh. Then the other one is like, and I look at her, you know, I look at the other one, and she's like, "Uyu." Then she's like, "I need the doctor to test you. Doctor, because sika kumba tika ono siri virgin, tika ono siri virgin, virgin, $100."
Wow.
Yeah, $100. You will. This was Friday. Friday afternoon.
Wow.
And Saka, hey, but now, Cheto Tao Chandi Kwanisa. Then the other one was like, I want to know Kweshwa. Ah, Nga Kwanisa, you say we're Fijin. I want to know Kweshwa. Nga so Kwanisa Kanzi. Ah, yeah. Waitam Yama Eji Angwa. I also in Kwanisa. You can do criminal now. Deep in number Zago. Yeah. This is what happened.
So.
This chick mad on you. He didn't mad on this chick. She mad on you.
She mad on me.
So, Nigel, you were offered $100 if you were going to be found to be a virgin by an officer of the State of the Republic of Zimbabwe.
Police. Standard procedure, yes.
Wow. Usually people bribe police, wow. But it's a different one when police want to test drive you out. And
in my mind, I was just like, if this was a male cop saying this to a female.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. Yeah. That would have been nuts.
That would have been crazy.
So the male cop was there doing nothing, just watching and having
quiet.
Fun with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was basically quiet and all he could do was pass them.
So Nigel,
uh-huh.
I'm going to ask a very misogynistic question right now.
Yes.
Well, the cop's pretty though.
No.
Would the outcomes have been different if they were? This is a very misogynistic question. It's weird because, you know, I know I'm not the only one who asked you this question when you told the story, right, Nigel?
I was actually quite pissed, eh?
Okay.
At that point, my state of mind was like quite pissed. But anyway, to answer you, no, they were not attractive, especially the one who wanted to test drive me.
Dude, nah. Must have been scared. Do you know, because, you know, some people say us guys, we're very, like, physical. So, like, if the physical's okay, we'd be like, yeah, we good. But, like, you were placed in a position of fight or flee. And you were not, it wouldn't have changed much even if they were attractive, right?
I guess not, because at that point, I was enraged, you know, and a part of me was like, guys, I'm going with these cops and I'm going to drop them at my flat and I'm going to leave them with the car and I'm going to get inside and I'm just going to do that. I was actually plotting their downfall.
Mm. Yeah, man. I feel bad for even asking that question.
Did not happen.
I feel bad.
We went through, I took some money. They went back just like that.
So was it a formal charge or they?
No, it wasn't a formal charge. They went with my money.
Wow.
They went with my money. And I had to go back and drop them in town.
So you were abused. You were abused sexually, Calvin. Didn't
you? Yeah, they wanted, because what I told them was I had $10. They wanted more. And I'm like, guys, I do not have any other thing. And for some reason, it so happens that my fuel tank just went red at that time.
You know,
so either way, I was like, look, I've got an empty tank already and I still have to drop you guys. And this is all the money I've got.
And this is all because they saw you on your phone?
I wasn't on my phone. They saw me holding my phone. I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't talking. Neither was I actually looking into my phone. I was holding.
Yo, yeah, it's wild. Yeah, Nigel has got a wild story. I'm really sorry for the experience and even asking.
No, it's okay. I mean, listen, we're Zimbabweans. We've been through the worst with these police.
Yeah,
so,
I can't.
You know, it's expected. You know, at the end of the day, it just dampened my day. because I was actually quite broke anyway. So
yeah, this, I
had to make a few calls, you know, like, and they're busy threatening me. And I don't know what can I say, my see, I don't know what I had to charge office. You know, they're like,
so it was either sex or the money or charge office, one of the three.
No, it wasn't. Well, sex, nah. But to be honest with you, the officer in front, she gave me vibes. She wanted it.
Oh, she wanted it.
She gave the vibes. Like, she really wanted it. Like, if it was the two of us, I'm telling you, she'd have gotten into the flat with me. She wanted it.
You and your virgin eyes.
Yeah, she wanted a piece of my virginity.
I'm not laughing.
So what did you say, Mark?
I'm saying that's a different cop story I've heard. I mean, all the time, it's people trying to run away from cops, you know, but now it's someone being megged on by a cop. Like, damn, bro.
Yes, you're lucky. That's real.
But most people don't believe me, hey? Most people think when I tweeted this, most people, their reactions were like, they were exactly like what Unai said. Like, they probably misconstrued it to say, I macked on the police woman, and that's how the story ended. And they didn't even know how deep it was. Like, as I said, if this was a female being macked on by a guy, do you know how wrong this is? Like, $500. Do you know how wrong this would have been?
Yeah, you're right. Because I can imagine like cops saying that to a woman. Yeah, like a male cop saying, "So you look like you've been having sex.
You look like a virgin.
Yeah,
how old are you? Students are older. You look like a virgin.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
I actually worked at one company I worked for some time back, like around 2015. I'm not sure. But there's a story of a guy who actually said something similar. You know, and that was Agatodzingwa, because that was wrong, you know. That was wrong. Agatodzingwa, you know.
Anyway, thank you for sharing the story. And I'm so sorry for being so insensitive in the moment.
No. Come on. I'm totally cool. I'm totally cool.
They're gonna say Ona is toxic. Ona is part of the problem. Anyway, let's get to about a week ago. Right, guys? About a week ago, About a week ago. Okay. Last week we were not there. Onai was sick. I'm sorry, guys. I was very sick. I thought I had COVID, but it wasn't COVID because when I got tested, I was negative. But it turns out like I had this nasty flu. I got COVID medication. So we didn't record last week mostly because I was sick. So it's my fault. I'm quite sorry, but I'm feeling better now. About a week ago though, last week was a very heavy week. A lot of people passed away. First we had Prince Philip. And then quite soon after, we had DMX, my childhood favorite artist of all time. Then Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. And then for those who follow South African hip hop, there was AKA's girlfriend, fiance. I don't know the female version, like the wife to be. And then just today, I'm recording this on Sunday, Happy Independence Day. There was Black Rob. Yo, the deaths were too much. I think DMX one hit me the most. Dr. Cindy Van Zyl was pretty, a lot of people were endeared to Dr. Cindy Van Zyl online, which kind of sucked. So I really want to extend my prayers and condolences to all the people involved. If you knew any one of these, I know it seems a little far-fetched, like it's an artist guy in America, but like for people like me who were raised on DMX, we've got memories of his music. Some people have got memories of Prince Philip. Some people were very close to Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. I'm quite sorry, and I really hope that God can comfort you in this moment of pain and you know all that. I don't know if you guys have any comments about those deaths, besides the fact that it seems like a lot of people were mourning DMX more than Prince Philip. It was very sad that people had to point that out, but I'm like...
I don't think it was actually... mourning DMX more than Prince Philip, but I think it was to do with more were actually mocking Prince Philip in death as compared to DMX. Like, you've got quite a number of people who were passing jokes, you know, on social media. So that was the outstanding thing for me about the scenario. Dr. Cindy, you know, I started watching some of her shows when it was the WSTC era. Mm. I remember she had a show on SABC3. That's when I started actually knowing her. I only got to know after her death that she was actually Zimbabwean and the daughter of the former Harare mayor. Yeah, but her death really touched me, especially because it was COVID related, you know. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine spending 2 months battling COVID. Like, I just thought this was a disease that would just quickly, you know, do whatever it wants to do with you. But two whole months, wow, you know. And I was really touched by her death. DMX, definitely. Well, the AKA story, well, it's always a sad thing losing such a young soul, you know. At 22 years, I think that the whole world is ahead of you.
Yeah.
Prince Philip, you know, well, the guy had lived, so that's all I can say. Like, 99, what more 99. Would you want? Like,
That's
Ango Naro, bye-bye, but yeah.
He wasn't looking too great. I saw this really bad. Okay, I don't even know. Like, there were bad jokes on
there. There were quite a number.
But they say he had a great sense of humor. So I don't know if he would have appreciated.
I think he'd find this funny. Eh?
The worst was when someone said he was now on 1%. I guess no.
200.
I know, guess.
Yeah. No. I decided to see the lighter side and have a laugh when Rasta was painting all these people. Rasta the artist, shout out to him. Rasta is dope, guys. His paintings were just on point.
Rasta is unappreciated, guys. He should.
Exactly.
He's unappreciated. He's got his own way of art. Yeah. But anyway.
So I took a moment to appreciate his art and have a laugh. And some good brain from Rasta. Shout out to him. Hopefully he continues down this path and he can have more brain. My question is, does he sell this though?
One day they're gonna cost a lot. That's one thing I know. One day they're gonna cost a lot. All he has to do is put them on an NFT and put them up online, and he's gonna make lots of money with it. But anyway,
NFTs cause global warming, right? No.
Yeah.
NFTs cause global warming, so no to NFT.
I don't know how NFTs cause global warming, but yeah, you'll have to let me know. But anyway, NFT. Yeah,
it requires a lot of energy. Like the process of just making an NFT. Requires a lot of energy.
Okay, we're gonna bore a lot of listeners who are not into crypto stuff. But anyway, today we celebrate Independence Day. I want to go to a tweet by Nyasham Sandra. Now, before I go to that tweet, have you guys been seeing the flag, the face thing that's on Twitter? Nigel? Mark?
Oh, yeah.
For me, the best thing about Independence Day, I swear to you. Because yo. So it's a thing where people are putting the Zimbabwean flag and then they put their lovely little faces. See, for single people like me and Mark, Nigel, I don't know if you're in a relationship, but it is quite something to be like, okay.
Can you please tag me, guys? I haven't seen anything.
No, just.
I'm only seeing.
Listen.
Can you please tag me?
Now, for those who are really thirsty, the thirsty people, there's the flag, the face, and the body. Now, yo. Yeah.
Oh, there's the body as well.
The body as well. I'm like, yo.
Whoa.
Okay. All right.
Nah, that was some good distraction from all the troubles associated with Zim's independence.
The question is, so Nyasham Sandu, who used to be one, I think Fadzai Mahere's campaign manager, she was on the show. I remember when Fadzai came to our show. I know from a mutual group, amazing young lady, political and a great political mind. She tweeted this. She said, allow me to speak my truth for a moment before you jump in and tell me how I should feel. How does one celebrate freedom when they do not feel free? How does one celebrate independence when they feel oppressed? How does a nation grow when it silences criticism? We cannot be free if those who speak out are imprisoned. There are those who will have you believe that patriotism demands your silence in the face of oppression. However, in my mind, our patriotic act is never to allow the wealth of our nation to be squandered by a few. Zimbabwe belongs to all of us, and our most beautiful celebration of independence is our continued perseverance in the pursuit of freedom. in all its forms. I have just read three or five of a thread which has tweets. In fact, one of the things she says is like, I stand today, I check into a police station once a week, I surrender my passport to the state 9 months ago. Despite repeatedly demanding a trial, it has been postponed for three times. What is our crime? Demanding from the state the very promises of independence, you know? To ask your country to live by the ideals that it has set out for itself is not a crime. To demand the end of corruption and access to quality healthcare and education for all its right to every Zimbabwean born of the sacrifices of those who came before, all this is not a crime. So, we've got a minute. Okay, I wasn't even supposed to say we've got a minute, but I don't know. Do you really feel the hype of independence?
No, it's an off day. That's another day which is there, which you celebrate, and which honestly has got no meaning. I mean, I was thinking about it today in the morning. Mm. I don't know, do you remember the Zimbabwe 21 campaign? 21 years, like, and I was like, oh, snap, that was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, Zimbabwe
That's
21.
Two decades. Yep. Yes, Zimbabwe 21. Yep. And what, you know, the hype around, so as I was saying, the whole Zimbabwe 21 hype we had during that time. And so I was just thinking, it's now 41 and Zimbabwe 21 was 20 years ago. What has happened in these past 10 to 20 years that can make me feel proud to be Zimbabwean and to be proud of this quote-unquote independence? And there's nothing, to be honest. It's just the same, it's been the same old story, trying to survive, trying to make a living, persecution of people who try to speak out, a country that is being run down every day. And to be honest, I wanted to ask this question: is independence a Zim thing or is just a ZANU thing? Because as it stands, it's just ZANU's day and they get to do whatever they want. And yeah, it's just vibes for them, and everyone else is just trying to make ends meet on a daily basis.
Nigel, do you think it's a matter of perspective that we are too encumbered by the struggles so much that we fail to recognize the sacrifices that were made? Do you think that maybe we are jaded as young people, that we are only looking at independence from a perspective of we want more as opposed to something that was done for us? Do you think we are unappreciative of it?
Now, when you look at the fact that our mothers and fathers, most of the good memories they've got are of that Christmas during the colonial era, you know, like that's a bad sign, you know. Those are the memories. Those are the good memories they have. They're like, Christmas is time, guys. Time na kitu. No, that speaks volumes. Why aren't they able to say the same thing about that today in an independent Zimbabwe? Like, why can't they share the same sentiments or even better memories, like, as compared to before? That, for me, speaks volumes. Yeah, I think I agree with Mark. It's ceased to be a more of a Zimbo thing, you know, because I remember I was reading a quote by Joshua Nkomo. I'm not certain what the quote was exactly, but it was saying something like, "There comes a point where you're not free, you know, where you are free but you are not free, like something like that. Like in your own country, you say you have fought for freedom, but you're not seeing the benefits of that freedom." You look at the violations on a human rights level, you know, you're not allowed to say anything, you know. For all we know, some of us could be in jail tomorrow for what we're saying right now, you know. So it's all about, it's not about perception, but it's all about reality. Trust me, our grandparents, our parents, they should be able to talk about memories that have been created after independence, but no, they can't. You know, and it seems as if the further away we go from that 1980, the worse things become.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that sucks is if you just think about a day like today, the one thing, me as a young person who is probably Hopewell's worst nightmare, is the one thing I'm just saying about independence is the flag, the face. And then there's this big argument about some of these guys are paid to do that. Like, so it's pretty girls basically posting their faces in the country's flag. And some people are saying like, no, these people are outside the country. That's why they can afford to actually celebrate Independence Day. It's a fun thing for them to do because they don't face the unhappiness that most of young Zimbabweans have when they face the whole idea of independence. And especially because we did not see the war. We were born after the war. But now I'm thinking between the three of us, maybe about 60 years, because probably some of us like early 30s, maybe late 20s. 41 years independent. We were born 10 years, 10 plus or minus 1 year after independence. So we've lived 30 plus or minus one of the years. And in my own memories, like when I look at how some other countries celebrate their independence, you are right, Nigel, you are right, Mark. To me, it becomes more of theoretically understand the importance of it, but it doesn't translate to me to this thing. Like, I don't, like, we're not economically independent, if that makes sense. We might be colonially independent from the Rhodesian government, from Ian Smith, but economically, we can't say the same thing. We can't say at our roads and be happy about the state of the country. You know what I mean? And I think I saw recently where they say the president is, I think in the Chronicles, the president is mounting a war against potholes. I'm like, fam, who caused that war in the first place? So to me, it becomes a bit, it's exhausting. I know that I hate it, but I almost feel indifferent about it. But I do appreciate that it's a big step that the country took to becoming free from colonial rule. But if you cannot force us to be happy about something that we're not happy about. And I think those in power should realize and recognize that we're not happy. We're not saying we're going to fight or rebel or riot. But the truth is, we are very disconnected from the happiness that they have because they couldn't maintain the benefits of the happiness, at least for the rest of us. That's how I feel about independence.
Exactly. And just to add on, I just want to say, it's almost like we can't, the fact that they liberated us, you know, and with the way things are, the day has lost its significance. Because we have the independence, but what else? What else do we have? Nothing. So as a result, the day means nothing to many youth out there. Mm. We have a drug problem that is wreaking havoc in many of our youths in the ghetto. And all those things, you know, there are things which we need to fix and talk about, but we can't because the platforms are not there. If you try to talk about it, you're arrested. As a result, what are we independent from?
Yeah.
You know,
we've got a what new war. Mm.
Exactly. We've got we have a new so war many
things. Social, and yeah.
Exactly. Social, we have so many things going on, but unfortunately, we can't talk about it because the government.
We feel scared.
Exactly. Exactly. So as a result, the day means nothing to many youth. It's just a day. Oh, yeah, holiday. Tomorrow, I'm not going to work. For those who are going to work, it's a holiday. But other than that, it's just another day.
You're right. You're so right. Now to add on to it, quickly, let's just go through this. The National Service is back. Nigel, are you signing up? Are you signing up for the National Service? So the National
Sure. Definitely.
Okay. Why? Give me one. Convince me to sign up with you. Why should I?
I'm joking. Why would I sign up for that? You know, I've got better things to do with my life.
The question is this something that we needed? I saw Nomaliso, and congratulations to Nomaliso. For those who don't know, I think her husband put it up online that they had a new baby. We're trying to figure out what the name we're going to give the baby. Was born on the 18th of April, Independence Day. I wanted to call Ndi for independence. So it's independence, Ndi. You know what I mean? But like she said, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. I forgot the point that she was saying, but you're saying it's a great thing that the National Service is coming back. Is there a right way to do a National Service? And do you think that Zimbabwe can allow that right way to happen? Because the memory we have of the National Service was border gates.
It's
reminiscent of almost like army training, and it's scary. Like, it's just like a bunch of youths who are taught to more militarized. That's how it feels like. And a lot of people don't like that. But do you feel like there's a right way to do it? And do you think this should be one of the things that we should be prioritizing right now?
It is the right way.
Speak on it.
You know, if it's not, if it's truly about creating a sense of patriotism without being linked to any political party, and if we can all come with the common purpose of ensuring that we are not in any way militarizing things, definitely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having something to say. But like, this is done in many countries. I mean, look at Prince Harry. I know this might not be the same way, but he went joined the military, you know, as a way of proving his patriotism. So I think there's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. But it's because we know this is it's an arm which is abused usually against the citizens. It's been tainted. It's an idea that no one wants to entertain because we know what can potentially come out of it.
I see you. I agree with you 100%. Mark, you feel the same? Yeah.
I'm thinking about it, like you're saying, from the Border Gezi days and how it was started at the height of our economic
violence. Exactly.
So it's almost like they're trying to bring that back. This is the second wave now of the same thing. So it's going through massive economic, political meltdown. So the ruling party is trying to bring that back and create, soldiers for whatever purpose and intents. We don't know to what end, but as a result, I'm just against the whole idea, you know, and I wouldn't sign up. I don't know who would. And I guess what hurts more is the rounds that were going on, like especially on social media, when people are saying the current Minister of Youth, Kirsty Coventry, was the one who drove that idea home to have the National Youth Service back. You know, and we're talking of financial implications behind the whole thing. With the money that is going to be needed to start the whole thing, can that money be used to do other things? So it's a case of classical case of misplaced priorities, you know, and just focusing our energy and attention on trivial matters that are not bringing us the change that we are looking for.
I wish they would finish building some of the universities and polytechs before they started the national.
Exactly.
Service. Like, to me, this makes more sense. I wish you would fix some of the schools that we have, build more classroom blocks for schools, for already existing infrastructure. I would actually much prefer that than investing money into the National Youth Service so that, like, we, you know, I don't know, but it is what it is. I also wanted to then ask, like, I think people have got such a, people expected something different from Kirsty Coventry to Honorable Minister Coventry just because she's white, I think. And I don't know if Honorable Minister, if that's a very bad critique against her or that's just something wrong because of our perceptions, but it is what it is. Let's get to ashesand.com. This is very depressing. So let's get to something more. Okay. It's not fun, but it did give a couple of people a chuckle in ashesand.com. Yeah. Okay. Guys, this past week or when the week on I was sick, Nigel said on Twitter, is Njuzu gonna drop another video? Nigel, do you wanna care to explain what this whole Njuzu thing was about to everyone who doesn't know?
Well, I don't know a lot about the Njuzu. I just know the videos, you know, and the pictures. That's my forte. You know? To be honest with you, I'm not supposed with the back end stuff. Okay. I look at what's on my timeline and what's happening. You know, I don't know. Was this a case of revenge porn? Mm. Some say so. Some say she was looking for publicity, though I don't think she would go to that extent. But an interesting conversation came up. You know, because she seemed as if she was not bothered by what happened. And You know, people always make comparisons to the Fokelo issue. You know, some people actually gain the celebrity status from such. So people were asking, is she just trying to put on a brave face, or is this really her I don't care attitude at play, you know?
Okay, so backstory, there's this person, a personality known as the Hell Commander or something like that. I don't even know that part of social media. But apparently, and I could be wrong, I think this young lady was someone who he has got a relationship with or something. And then a bunch of sex tapes news came out of her performing a bunch of different things, a bunch of videos. They were online and, you know, you could just scroll. It was just the whole thing. So obviously there was a lot of reactions, like the reactions that Nigel was talking about. You've got the initial reactions where it's mostly men who wanted to watch what was going on. So I was sick at the time and went to work. And then a girl said to me, and there was a whole row about porthole size and this whole thing about her. I don't know, like, I really hate talking about a private issue, but like, people were basically nude shaming her for different reasons. And I think one brand got into it as well, which was really tacky. But the funniest thing about it is one of the criticisms that I saw, like, you know, we're going to get to Nigel's, the conversation that was had, was there was a lot of backlash from women about her. And usually it's men who are blamed for, you men slut shame. But I saw a lot of it from women, actually. Which is then goes to the joke where Nigel was like, is he going to drop another one? Because they just kept coming. But what Nigel says is very important. Like, what do you do when nudes are dropped? What do you think she was forced to become, like, hardened? Like, you know, the conditions that we give women to have to face, or men to have to face, because their nudes are leaked. Is it rather unfair for us to say she wanted this? Because right now, that's the only reaction she can give. She has been exposed. Her private life has been exposed. Her body has been exposed. Everyone knows what she looks like. And everyone has seen her in some of her most vulnerable moments. So do you think that us saying, nah, her hard face and non-indifference to it is for us to say that it's because she wanted it is unfair? Because what else did you want her to do? Cry?
That is a very interesting and controversial question, which has got no right answer. But I think it all goes to personal conviction, what you believe. And, like, take the social media out of it. What are your thoughts on the subject as a human being? Do you want the same to happen to you? Right? So I believe that is a question we all have to ask ourselves. I honestly was indifferent about it. I didn't watch it. I actually then muted the word Buzu from my timeline because of that. I didn't want to see anything because it's just so wrong. Like, for me, it's just so wrong. It's not something I want to be exposed to. It's not something I want people to be exposed to. So I then took the necessary precautions to shield myself from it and just pretend like I didn't see anything, you know, because, I don't want to go through such. I would want to be exposed in that way.
Nigel, if your nudes, I don't know if you've ever sent or were to be exposed, what is your reaction?
I don't know, but obviously it's not something I would be happy with. I probably would get in a state of depression. I think it's got a very, very deep psychological effect on the person, you know, like, you're just being exposed out there. I think it's definitely going to be damaging to me as an individual. My personhood has definitely been compromised and tampered with.
Yes, you. No, I totally agree. I think a word to the men, guys. I don't know who shared it. But if these dudes were sharing nudes, guys, it's tacky, it's wrong, it's crazy, it's nasty, don't do it. If a girl has sent you pictures of herself, for whatever reason, videos of yourself, or if you guys have taken videos of yourself doing whatever it is that you're doing, I think the most manliest thing you can do is either delete them after you send them. It's a private moment. You don't got to send them anywhere. I think it's really wrong to do. I am against revenge porn. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, you once loved this person, now you're doing all this trash. So I know that it's, we usually think, my friends would never do that. But if you're a listener of this show, I'm telling you, as a guy or even as a girl, like, you know, maybe your guy's ex-girlfriend who's been wilding and you catch like her videos, don't do that. It's not cool. It's not right. It's not right. Just don't do it. It's crazy. It tarnishes a name. The internet never forgets. So, you know, just don't do it. And I would even say, just don't take the nudes in the first place. Don't take the nudes, your face in them. You know, don't do it. It's not cool. Yeah. I wish we had a girl on the show, because all of us are now just kind of like, you know, it is what it is. But I think the next thing I want to ask is, did you see the Tamron Ruvenico asked, if you're not a bill, you're a hustler. If you're not a hustler, you're a bill. And a lot of people didn't understand it. Nigel, Mark, did you guys? And I think I understood what you were saying. Like,
I think I did as well. I think I did.
Yeah. Like,
if you're not helping your partner out, then you're not helping. You are simply being a problem. I took it.
It's not even about helping the partner. It's just about generally to yourself. Are you a bill or are you an asset to yourself? Because sometimes all you ever do is just, you know, expenditure. To me, that's what she was basically trying to say. And a lot of people went hard on her. And this gets me to my filling station question. I'm totally changing everything that I had. I want to ask you guys this question. So can we get to the filling station? Then I can ask you guys this question. We can wrap the show up with that. Is that okay?
Let's.
All right, cool.
Let's dive into it.
Okay, filling station. Question I have for you. I was having a conversation with Skittles, actually. We were just chatting. And I asked, you know, you've got this conversation about relationships, and they say, a girl has to bring something to the table. A guy has to bring something to the table, right? Mark and Nigel, what do you guys bring to the table? What do you guys bring to a table?
We bring the tablecloth, my guy, first and foremost.
No, let's, I'm serious. What are these ornaments that are supposed to be on the table? What is it that people are talking about?
That is a very good question. And, okay. It's subjective, I feel. It depends on what you as Onai value in a relationship, right? From there, you then map out how you can go about complimenting each other. Yes,
right. What do you bring to table? Like, I want deliverables. Nigel, what are you bringing to a table?
Okay, I bring good communication skills.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I bring peace of mind.
Okay.
I bring support. Bring good advice. I bring good conversation. I bring constructive criticism.
Okay.
And just love. And love, like affection, you know, all those lovey-dovey things. Yes. Yeah, I think I bring that.
No money was mentioned here, which is interesting. Nigel, what are you bringing to a table?
Money. I bring money. I bring I bring love. I bring affection. You know, I'm one of those guys who really just feel that, you know what, I need money. I need to bring money to the table, you know. For a lot of things to work, with all due respect, you need money. Like, it might not be. No, it doesn't have to be Jinimbi money. It doesn't have to be Pashin Java money.
Mm.
It just needs to be money that's going to take our needs to a certain level. Like, we're able to cover our needs up to a certain level.
we're able to meet our desires to a certain level. We might not exhaust all our desires, because that's probably impossible. But we at the end of the day, we're two human beings. We are living. And we are living in a world with bills.
Because my question is, okay, Nigel, do you expect a girl to bring money to the table?
You know what? I've always said, this is Nigel's opinion. In this day and age, yes. I need a partner. I need a companion. Like, I need her to bring money to the table as well. But it might not be as much, but it's something, because this is a hard life we're living right now. And I'm not in a position to be buying even airtime, you know, every little thing. No, I'm not.
I think to just to add on to that, the financial burden, one thing which I feel we don't talk about a lot in relationships is the financial burden that comes with the relationship. You know, it's an issue which we skirt most of the times, and we don't talk about it. To say, like what Nigel was saying, you need money to be in a relationship, guys. Whether you're a guy or a girl, you just need money, because there are things that need to be financed, right? There are things that need to be financed. You have to go out, you have bills to pay, and all of that. So you need money. You need someone who can bring money to the table as well.
So are we in agreement that we need girls to bring money to the table?
Yes. Yes.
I need a girl to bring money to the table. Not a girl, but I will say a spouse.
A partner.
Like that's one of the things I'm looking for when I'm scouting for a potential spouse. And this is Nigel's criteria. No one should blame me. But I'm not in a position where I'm ready to just bring in someone to be a housewife. I can't. Zimbabwe, I got all my days.
Exactly.
So basically,
that's why I said it's subjective now. It goes to what you value. Because there are some guys who don't care about her money, and they'll be like, yeah, you can just come bring your body, you know, bring your nice face, bring your weave, you know, and they're cool with that. So it's different what we expect from a partner in terms of the support we want from the next person.
Do you think it's a...
So you decide what your partner brings to the table. It's a personal thing, I feel.
What about if the partner brings education, but she does not have a job? Yet.
That's okay with me. So education represents potential to get a job.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I don't want someone, because I know a number of my friends who are not working, not because they didn't go to school, but because the Zim economy is just that difficult, right? That's another story. But I'm just saying, someone who doesn't even have ambition, like someone who hasn't even taken initiative to go to school, or has taken initiative to go to school, but has no intention of looking for a job. I don't go change it. That I can't do. Someone who's actually, you know, you can actually tell that this person is hungry for a job, you know, that's all I'm asking for personally. I'm looking for someone who's constantly looking out for an opportunity to contribute something.
So is it okay? Is it correct to say that a girl just says to the table, I bring coochie, six? That's not enough, because I've seen a lot of girls.
We can get six. I can get like, six anyway.
I feel like so many girls put that up there, and they're like,
I don't think so. I can get six anyway. You know, six is nothing. Six is just six at the end of the day. You know,
exactly. Nigel almost got some on Friday. That's how easy it is.
I could have gotten some, you know, if I pursued.
You pursued it.
Yeah.
Because I've been seeing so many conversations about what do you bring to the table. And guys are saying girls should bring something to the table. And I want any woman who's listening to this to know, like, there's general ideas. Because I know as guys, we know that you need to bring financial stability to the table. That's one of the things we know you have to bring. Like, we know it as guys, right? But I was wondering, like, do girls know what they're supposed to bring to the table? That we expect them to bring financial stability to the table too, or is financial stability not one of the things that they should be thinking about? Because I feel like it's really lost on lots of girls. So am I okay? Am I correct to have the opinion that you would not want to settle for a girl? Okay, are there any types of jobs that, I think I've asked this question before, are there any types of jobs that you would not want your girl to be employed in? That even though she's bringing that to the table, you're like, nah, we ain't gonna do this.
Give us examples.
I don't.
I'm just trying to think in a bit.
Because if I do,
no, I do have examples. I do have examples. Like, but I'm very conscious about how some stereotypes are at play.
Yeah,
you know, there are certain jobs where guys will say, "Guys, you guys are nice." So. I remember, I'll give it a personal example, is a guy, like, he actually told this girl, "I know, Kuti, I don't want you to continue going to hospitality school."
Okay.
And this is what he said. Mm. But sometime later, they divorced. And guess what?
Mm.
She was unemployed. She didn't have school. She didn't have anything to fall back on.
Mm.
You see, so I always say this is a very subjective thing. If that's the only thing that she can do or she has, you know, probably she wasn't able to get as much education as you were, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a waitress. And she's doing something. She's doing something productive with her being a waitress. Mm. If you don't want a waitress, just leave her. To be.
Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh. I know there are so many stereotypes of so many jobs, and it's usually about the jobs that certain women do. I hardly ever see it as guys, except maybe like if you're a mkorokoza or something like that. Like a
They're there. They're definitely there. You hear like Andini Murumano, mkorokoza, or Andini Windy.
They are there,
but probably they're more skewed towards the women. Their bias is more skewed towards the women, but they are there. But at the end of the day, guys, we all have a choice. Like, if you know that this person, Anu Shanda Motel, then you definitely have an opportunity to say Andimude and just put. So don't be coming through and uchibisa vanevanu pamabasa, and you know. Also, it's not vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think that's bad.
Nigel and Mark, so the next question about bringing things to the table, what do you think is the one unreasonable expectation that women have for us guys to bring to the table? Especially guys of our generation, maybe.
Meeting all the expenses, like just being the ultimate
bank
provider.
Okay.
What about thinking of watch calf name Scanoma? In a bit, I was kind of too chelche. Because I'm thinking a lunch. We don't want menus or a tinger. Exactly. Like, is this chick actually had, like, we did it a long time ago. But, you know, the one day she bought me a regular pizza, she made it seem as if, I think she passed a comment like, "Hey, not so good, Jagani Mariam." You know, and. She had never bought me anything. I'd never asked her for anything. And I'm like, I was genuinely shocked because I have been spoiling you. I've been going all out for you, you know? And at that time I was quite broke, you know. Whatever I did was out of sacrifice, you know? Mm. And she made it seem as if she had done the world. Like, guys. Like, I was shocked.
Mark, any
it's those comments. Come on. Just one pizza. One day.
Harare girls are wild.
No offense to that girl. But it's such comments that just tell you we have a long way to go in terms of I don't know, can you call it educating women about just spoiling your person?
Mm.
I don't know how to call it, but we have a long way to go, and it will take a while because all of these things, remember, they're coming from a patriarchal society where you are taught to be the alpha male, the guy who provides everything without complaining and whatnot. So it's almost a contradiction, right? Between society girls to be sufficient and, you know, also telling
Mark, your sound is
the guys to
Mark, your sound is wild. Like, I have to say,
to think of it,
your
as like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, Mark's sound was wild, but I think you were kind of getting to the point that it was really trying to get to. I think I haven't got off my chest. I think when I think about girls bringing
the whole part of contradiction and yeah, we have a long way to go.
No, we do. But I always say, when I look at the things that a girl should bring to the table, I actually feel like she should bring, these are the things she should bring to her own table. When I think of financial stability, I'm not trying to think of financial stability for me and her, but like, is she financially not stable, but is she financially okay? Slightly. Is she able to take care of herself? I'm always thinking about education, not as a plus for me, but a plus for her. When I think about her mental development, it's not for my benefit. When I think I was just raised in a way where I already know as a guy, the things that I should bring to the table are like financial stability, a relationship, I'm able to take care of someone's daughter. But I want to be with a person who can take care of themselves first and foremost before we think about them bringing something here. For me, as long as this person is able to find value in themselves, develop themselves, and stand as an individual, that for me is already bringing a lot to the table. Not for me specifically, but for themselves. And I always look for wanting to see the best in what a person can do for themselves. Because once you're able to do that, truly, I know that you already bring, I don't demand, and I don't want to be in a space where you're with a person who really can't even, like, you know, like, what is it? I always say I don't like being with boring people. Boring, not in the sense of like, is your social life entertaining, but what are you about? Are you about anything? Do you do anything? Like, if you go to church, are you just a backbencher? Or you work in some ministry? Do you have a conscience? Are you just someone who's open-minded to feel like life is important for more than just, you know? But especially whatever this woman is bringing, she has to do it for herself before she does it for a potential husband. And when we meet together as a team, we both are bringing things to a table and we can join forces and then we can go ahead with it, which is basically what I always think. Guys, we've come to the end of the show and I'm sure it's been a very short show. I already know the title. And thank you guys for coming through. I know it's a holiday and it's so slow and we're like, ugh. But I want to appreciate everyone who listens to the show. People who listen to it on the roads. Shout out to Keith. Thank you for the call. It was a lovely phone call that you gave me, last week. I truly appreciate it. Shout out to Mike, for listening to the show wherever you are in the world. And shout out to all the diaspora listeners. I truly and truly appreciate you. Where can people find you amazing young men on social media? And you guys single? Like, are you guys looking for honeys as well? Cause you know, there might be somewhere out there. Mark.
Yes. Single and actively searching.
Okay.
Yes. I'm on Twitter, Kinds Mark.
Hmm.
That's the only social media platform that I'm like active on. And I'm on WhatsApp if you have my number.
There we go. Nigel.
Yo, Mr. Sweet on Twitter and NTK on Instagram.
I owe you pork bones, do I not? I got
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I miss you personally, Nigel. I miss you, like your presence.
I miss you too, Onai.
I really, we should hang out.
What are you singing?
Yeah. We should call up Archie and do that. and
yeah, sing, yeah, guys, we should do something.
But the problem is when Nigel starts singing, he takes all the girls, man. I Nigel can sing, guys. Sure, yo, Nigel actually sing, guys. Hey, yo, these boys can.
No, not at all. But I miss singing, genuinely. Guys.
Genuinely, okay. Well, let's look for an open mic somewhere and go and have fun. So you guys
can we have the cook off at the open mic thingy? Like
maybe we should do that. We should do the cook off at the open mic thing. It's online on social media, all platforms. Nigh on iPod everywhere. So it's Nigh on iPod on Instagram, Nigh on iPod on Twitter. Get off Twitter followings up so that we also encourage to tweet. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to the show. Truly appreciate you and have yourselves a lovely week. Stay safe and happy independence. And now.
Capital 263.